The scripture for today, the first scripture, comes from Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The second reading, Hebrews 4:12. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Shalom, Boker Tov, Bruchim Abayim B'Shem Adonai. You've probably gathered that's neither Cantonese nor Mandarin. Peace, good morning, blessed be they that come in the name of the Lord. That's Hebrew, the language that this was originally written in, the Old Testament. I grew up in Israel and currently live there. We run the Institute for Biblical Languages and Translation, which brings Bible translators from all over the world to learn biblical Hebrew so that they can go back and translate directly from the source language into their own languages. And our purpose is to accelerate the translation of the Word of God, the whole Bible, into every language on the planet. Hebrews 4 tells us that the Word of God is alive. It's living. I have a friend who signs every one of his letters, his emails, with this phrase, "This book is alive." Now you can imagine that he's pretty committed to that fact. If everything he sends out says, "This book is alive." It's alive, it's active, it's transforming his life, and it can transform all of our lives. That's why Deuteronomy 6 instructs us to meditate on it day and night. When we're coming, when we're going, when we're in the MTR, when we're on the way to work, on the way back, meditate on the Word of God. Let it soak into you and let it transform who we are. It tells us that we're to do it with our children. Now, growing up in Israel, my parents used to tell us Bible stories at bedtime. And we used to really look forward to that time of to those stories every night. Because every time it was exciting for us. We were enthralled by the stories of faith, particularly those in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah and the animals, the ark, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and all the miracles coming of the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. One afternoon, as I was coming home from Hebrew school, I went into our little backyard, and the little backyard was surrounded by government and apartment buildings all around, and I was reliving the story from the night before in my mind's eye. It was a story of David and Goliath. And as that video replayed in my mind, so to speak, you know, I could see the Philistines gathered on this side of the valley up against the hillside, and on this side the Israelites, and young David running around trying to find his brothers, trying to find out what was going on. And then the great hush that fell on the Israelite army as Goliath strode forth and made his great declaration And as I was his challenge to Israel, and as I was reliving that in my mind, I started shouting the words that he challenged Israel with. I defy the armies of Israel. I defy the armies of Israel. I defy the armies of Israel. I was suddenly grabbed from behind. A hand was clapped over my mouth, and I was dragged unceremoniously away by my mother, who had a bit different perspective at that time than I did. Now, I identified with David, but that particular situation, I think Goliath won the battle. Bible stories capture our imagination and help us understand that obedience to God's call is to be sought over comfort and convenience. That service to the world is more important than riches. In fact, it's what makes us rich. Whether it's hearing about Daniel in the den of lions, Ruth and Naomi, Esther risking her life before the king, Jonah and the whale, Bible stories fashion our understanding of God, of his faithfulness and his ways. Stories are captivating to all of us because they're a bridge to the heart. Narratives speak both to our minds and to our emotions. And the Bible is a narrative of God's interaction with humankind, the greatest story ever told. These stories have shaped us and given us the willingness to believe, to risk, to dare, and to venture beyond our comfort zones. And when these Bible stories are repeated, told and retold in various mediums, they can shape cultures and even generations and nations. The greatest and most impactful stories come from the greatest author, the master storyteller himself. Perhaps that's why nearly 70% of the Bible is narrative, poetry, and song. In 2011, the Lausanne Movement, together with the International Orality Network, published a declaration on making disciples. Here's what that declaration says. We believe that the foundation of discipleship is the shaping by and obedience to the Word of God. And it is the inalienable right and privilege of every person to have access to the Word of God in his or her own language and in a media format that he or she understands. It's the inalienable right of every person to have access in their own language. Now, if we hold this to be true, then it becomes our obligations as followers of Jesus, those who have benefited from having the whole word, to make it accessible to those who do not yet have it. Well, let me ask you, what is the Bible? If I give you one gospel, have I given you the Bible? Or if I give you the last 27 books, have I given you the Bible? Some of us have laptop computers. You know, it's two sections. You have the monitor, and you have the central processing unit and keyboard. If you take the monitor off and give someone a monitor, have you given them a computer? Matthew 28:18 is known to us as the Great Commission, the final instructions of Jesus to his disciples before he went to be with the Father. And in those instructions, he says, tells us to go make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that I have instructed you. Jesus' teaching was rooted in the scriptures. Do you remember the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus just after the crucifixion? Two of the disciples are leaving Jerusalem. They're confused about all that's going on, and they're walking to Emmaus. Emmaus is about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, and it didn't have nice highways like we have here today. It was a rocky, hilly terrain that they had to traverse for 7 miles between Jerusalem and Emmaus. And on the way, Jesus came and walked alongside of them and listened to what they were saying. And then after a while, this is what he responded to them. Luke 24. Then Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to understand all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then, beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And if you remember the story, after he revealed himself at the dinner with them, when they saw the holes in his hands, and he left them, and they went rushing back to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples that they had seen Jesus. This is what they said to each other on the way. "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" What was the Bible that Jesus used? It was the Old Testament. The same Bible that Paul, Peter, John quoted from and taught from. Galatians chapter 4, we read that God sent his Son in the fullness of time. God sent his Son in the fullness of time. In God's master plan, he strategically chose not to send the Savior until he had first given his people the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the foundation upon which the New Testament builds. Knowledge of the Old Testament is essential to understanding the New Testament. It prepares our understanding of what sin is, why we even have need of a Savior, what his atoning sacrifice accomplishes, what it means that he ushered in the kingdom of God. As one Filipino leader said to me some years ago, he said, "The New Testament without the Old Testament is like having a machete without a handle." One of our translation students from Africa shared that in his context, having the New Testament is like having a beautiful shirt. But having a beautiful shirt without pants is like going around undressed. He said you have to have the pants of the Old Testament with the shirt of the New Testament so that you are not seen to be undressed. Both parts of the Bible are important to the full revelation of the mystery of God and his plan for humankind. As invaluable as the New Testament is, it nonetheless does not stand alone as separate from the Old Testament. Did you know that the New Testament quotes 61 of the 66 books of the Old Testament? In fact, if we were to do a Bible quiz here today and I were to ask you, which Old Testament book does the New Testament quote most, what would you say? Would you guess that it's the book? Somebody knows the book of Deuteronomy. How many of you have recently read the book of Deuteronomy? Well, good. I'm glad to see some hands going up. In fact, nearly 30% of the New Testament text are quotations, references, or allusions to the Old Testament. So imagine if 30% of the New Testament was suddenly missing. You were reading along and whole sections were gone. That's exactly what it's like for people who have never had access to the Old Testament. Because as they read, it's, what is this? What's this referring to? Who's David? Who's Moses? Abraham? I don't understand. Another of our translation students is a church leader from a language group in Ghana that only has a translation of the New Testament. And one Sunday, as he was teaching in his church about Psalm 23, "The Lord is our shepherd," afterwards a man came up to him and said that he couldn't find that passage in his Bible. And so the pastor explained to him, "Well, that's in the Old Testament. We haven't translated that yet. It's not in the New Testament." And the man said to him, "Oh, couldn't you just please translate that psalm and put it in the New Testament so that we could have it?" You see, people are hungry for the whole Bible. Despite the incredible value of the Old Testament, we too often miss its importance in the process of spreading the good news of Jesus and making disciples. We see the salvation story as central to the gospel and forget the context of the whole story, which started in the beginning of time and has not stopped. God is not haphazard in his self-revelation, nor in his communication strategy. His message is consistent and integral from Genesis to Revelation. The Old Testament, in fact, is foundational to evangelism and discipleship among many of the unreached people groups that are part of completion of the Great Commission, because of characteristics that they have in common with the people of Israel, the people of the Old Testament. Oftentimes, these cultures identify more closely with the stories, the community norms, and practices of Israel in the Old Testament. So it makes a quick bridge for them. Oh, we understand. But without the Old Testament, they're lost. My daughter visited some believers in a tribe in Zambia, which until quite recently practiced human sacrifice. And the first believers from this tribe were a young married couple. And the young woman recounted to my daughter the way she had come to faith, and that it was through hearing the creation story. When she heard that God had created male and female in his image, she realized that God valued her. And she wanted to follow that God. In that particular tribe, women were treated as property, just property. But because of the Genesis story, her husband began to treat her with respect and dignity. And others in the tribe saw the changes in this couple, and they too began to embrace the God of the Bible. The Old Testament addresses God's authority and ways in every sphere of society. How does a community of faith disciple its children without the Old Testament stories of Joseph, of David, of Esther, of Ruth, of Daniel? How do we have Sunday school without these things? How do we pass it on to the next generation? How does the community learn God's ways for healthy relationships, His standards of righteousness, of justice, of governance, without the Old Testament? The Old Testament is foundational also for understanding Jesus' gospel of the kingdom, and it's critical to building self-sustaining discipleship movements. Samuel Chang has stated this: no church planting movement has been sustained long term without access to the whole Bible. It's no wonder then that God planned that 74% of the Bible be the Old Testament. Perhaps one of the reasons that there's a tendency in some circles to dismiss the relevance of the Old Testament has to do with the titles that we have given to the first 39 books and to the last 27, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We live in a world that's rife with technological change, and the old is quickly out, and the new update is, you know, we do away with the old because we now have the new. And that can affect our thinking as it applies to the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's why some of us prefer to call the Old Testament the original Testament. You still have OT, so you know, we have the original Testament. Because in our culture, we value the original, the unadulterated real thing. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He never does anything that is not very good. So His original testament is the real thing, the Word of God that stands forever, even when everything else around it crumbles. You know, we can view the accomplishment of the Great Commission, the discipling all people, all nations, and seeing them grow in maturity in faith. We can see it as a supply chain. If you're going to, just like in a business, if you're going to have this result, every link of the supply chain has to be linked up in order to get your final result. And if any link is missing or weak, you won't end up with the result. We know that in order for people to believe, they must first hear and understand the message of the gospel. However, in order for them to mature in faith, they need access to the whole Word of God in their own language. So where do we stand in this task of the Great Commission? Nearly 2,000 years have passed since Jesus gave us that commission. And yet today, less than 10% of the languages of the world have a full Bible translation. Now, if we were a business evaluating our progress, I would say, oh my, we're not reaching our end goal. And you and I have a responsibility to look at this very seriously. There are over 7,400 living languages in the world, but less than 700 of them have a full Bible. And these figures highlight the nature of the unfinished task before us as we seek to be faithful to complete the Great Commission. Completion of the Great Commission depends upon every people group having access to the full Bible in a language and format with which they can engage with mind and heart. When the Holy Spirit was first poured out, as we read in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, everybody that was gathered there from all the nations heard the word of God proclaimed in their own language. And we know that Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit, was the first fruits. It's the first fruits of the completion, the first fruits of God's vision for history, which, as we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9, it says that gathered at the throne were people, are people from a multitude of people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue, worshiping before the King, before the Lamb. And you and I, we're living toward that vision. And we have a role in its fulfillment. We have a responsibility before our King to see the whole Word made accessible to the whole world. We're going to show a brief video, and then I'll just close this message with prayer.
What are the stories from the Bible you hold in your heart? Which did you hear as a child? Which ones have you told to your children? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, Noah believed God's promise. By faith, Sarah bore a child. By faith, Moses persevered to set the captives free. There are so many stories in the Old Testament that are foundational to our understanding of God and His ways. Now, what if these stories were all in darkness? What if you couldn't fully understand the foundation of the gospel because you never heard the whole story? Only 9% of the world's languages have the full Bible. The Old Testament is 74% of the Bible, but only 1 in 5 Bible translation projects include the Old Testament. The need to tell the whole story is great and is urgent. It's time for us to eliminate the Old Testament gap and enable access to God's Word in every language and for every people group. We are committed to making the whole Word available in the over 4,000 languages still requiring translation by training the translators needed in Biblical Hebrew. Together, and by faith, we can play our part in the cosmic story. Even one translation can start a ripple effect, laying the foundation for understanding the truth of Scripture for generations. Many before us have sacrificed greatly so that we can know the whole story. It is now time for us to complete the task. Join with us to give God's whole story to all people.
The call on Israel, Israel was blessed to be a blessing. And now we too are part of the Israel of God. And all of us, each and every one, are blessed to be a blessing. So I would ask that you join us in prayer, in asking the Lord that He pour out His Spirit to raise up laborers, to raise up translators who can work from the source language and write into their own languages, the languages of their own people, so that everybody can have the word, the whole Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the treasure of Your Word. We thank You that it is living and active. We thank You for what You have done in our lives through Your Word and continue to do daily. Oh, Lord, we are so blessed and we are so grateful. And now together we intercede for all those peoples and languages that do not yet have this privilege. Lord, we ask you raise up laborers. We pray, Father, that you would show us whatever part we might have toward that end until all can have your whole word. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus the Messiah. Amen.